Welcome back. I trust you are getting blessed with this interesting topic, the Exodus. And Exodus is a very, very, very interesting one. And I know the Lord will open our eyes the more today. Sir, you've mentioned three Exoduses. With your eagle anointing, your face of man anointing, as you have corrected us, you've been able to bring out three.
But sorry, Raul.
Yes, sir.
Something just came on my mind now. Pastor has preached the fourth Exodus.
The fourth
Exodus.
So,
sir, why are you changing it to three Exodus now?
Wow.
Actually, there are four. There are four. Okay?
But essentially.
But the picture has got clearer from the three, scripturally.
Okay.
But I'll prove it.
All right.
Okay.
That the process.
Yes, that's my next question. What are the processes?
The processes, you know, three is God's number.
Perfection.
Perfection.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Four is what?
Deliverance.
So what is rapture?
Deliverance from earth to glory.
Therefore, it will undergo four. You understand? Now, let me prove it now.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And the pattern is just scriptural. I've told you the first one is what?
Israel
living
Israel
in
coming to the promised land.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And giving the law.
Yes, sir.
Now, the Lord got them into bondage. Christ came to relieve them from law.
To grace.
And brought them out of the law to grace.
Amen.
Exodus, to grace. Grace again.
God denominated.
God denominated and caged the children of God in denominational cages. Then the restoration ministry came up.
Hallelujah.
You see?
Hallelujah.
So you have the restoration ministry.
As an Exodus.
An Exodus.
Yes. To, you know, which is what I type as 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
From
verse 14.
Yes, sir. Okay. Be not unequally
yoked with unbelievers. That is, what stage is that now? That's the third one.
Exodus.
The third one.
Yes, sir.
Now I spoke of the fourth one.
Yes, sir.
Now, when God himself, you know, brought the restoration ministry, which we all believe until otherwise proven, because we are open. We are open.
Okay.
If you say it's not William Branham that fulfilled it, you show us who. For we, it's not because it is William Branham, but we know the characteristic of every move of God.
We know.
We, the bride, we know. The elect, we know. So God sent a message to pull us out.
Amen.
And that same old demon came again and denominated the end time message.
Messed up the end time message.
Messed it up. So it's only normal that there will be a fourth move. And that fourth move is what is going on now.
So is it right? Is it right to put it this way, sir?
Yes.
No, you're the pastor. Can we say the fourth is of the third?
Each one is of the other, because the former gives rise to the latter.
Okay.
Without the former, there will not be the latter.
True.
So without the second, there won't be the third. The third was necessitated by the second.
Okay.
The fourth is necessitated by the third. Without the third, there will be not the fourth.
Would there be a fee?
Thank you.
Would there be a fee?
No, there will be no need, because God will not go. After you are delivered, you are free.
Amen.
Four. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four is God's number for deliverance.
Amen.
Amen.
So four Exoduses.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So, those are the processes.
Because you now tell me, how do you prove the fault? It's a move. All of a sudden, our God is wonderful.
Amen.
Share with us, sir. Share with us, please.
There used to be the biggest church in Nigeria, End Time Message Church, followers of the Ministry of William Branham, called Grace and Truth Tabernacle. The Ministry of Reconciliation, somewhere at Bagada, Ifako side. Pastored by Pastor John Ogu of Blessed Memory. A wonderful brother. Yeah. With a very unique ministry.
Mm. Unique.
Yeah, unique.
Wow.
And he got an eagle and put it in a cage.
Mm. My.
Now, an eagle is a heavenly bird.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Yes, yeah, a heavenly bird. Mm. It's not an earthly bird.
At all.
And the worst thing, William Branham said, the worst thing you can do to an eagle is to put it in a cage. Mm. Because those wings are meant, you know, to soar in heavenly
Amen.
Places.
Amen.
But he put it for years.
Wow.
Now, we did a period from 1997. From 1997, things began to happen in that ministry. And not only in that ministry, there was, in fact, actually it began from 1995 when there was a certain move around the Bride of Jesus Christ worldwide. It began somewhere in the Faith Assembly Church in Jeffersonville, in America. Then, before we know what, the same thing that was happening in America was happening in South Africa, was happening in I think in Norway, was happening in Nigeria. All within that period, you know, among churches that we are followers of the ministry of Raymond Jackson. Mm. And Raymond Jackson had to pick up someone to teach. He was a teacher, and his followers prefer to call him apostle, but I said there's no apostle now, he's a teacher, he's a teacher, you know. Some people call him chief apostle, all those celestial spirits that got into the message. No, Aladura.
Aladura.
Most senior, senior, and all those, it's a K&S spirit, chief apostle,
special apostle,
lead apostle. You know, it's all hangover from this white garment churches. There is a brother that says a lead apostle. You know, he broke up from this white garment churches. You know, so say he is a lead apostle. Anyway, and so he immediately in 1995 he preached a message entitled "The Bride's Anointing," and tried to explain like, what is happening. Is the bride's anointing. There's a shaking that is going on. There's a revival that is going on. They were pulling people out of quote to quote to quote to quote. Brabram say. Mm. They were using those quotes and binding themselves and will not allow the Holy Ghost to move freely. Mm. And all of a sudden you hear, which was very strange in the followership of the ministry of William Branham, Raymond Jackson will stand there and then see people speaking in tongues. If you ever came into the message with a gift of speaking in tongues, they will first start by killing it. If you come with any prophetic gift, they will kill it. They will, if you come with any grace at all, they will kill it. You know, it was that old spirit that, you know, was projected there. Yeah. And then the crop of the instruments used by the devil to achieve that largely, you know, dominated the leadership of that move after the death of William Branham. But God will always leave himself a witness.
Hallelujah.
People like Raymond Jackson and others like that around the world. So within that period, that was when some, you know, phenomenal things were happening among the entire message. And particularly, I in person, I remember that same 1995, that was when I came across that ministry. And I remember the Lord showed me in an experience I had, you know, in the spirit. And he told me that I should follow the teachings of that man, Raymond Jackson, and I will hit the revival I was looking for.
Hallelujah.
Because I belonged to the group. I was thirsty. I was, things were happening. We were seeing the manifestations of the power of God, of the spirit of God, among the denominationals that did not, they were walking even in error with the little they had, the little light they had. See what they were doing with it. And then we that say we have the full restored word, we could have, we had nothing to confirm the so-called revealed word that we say we have. So I was very worried until he who seeks will find.
Amen.
You know, amen.
And then he showed me. Now, then all of a sudden, to further let me now, some of us who are sensitive in the spirit, to know what was going around the world, then we now had within that period that there was a man that was put in charge of taking care of that
bird,
the eagle in that cage. Somehow, maybe he in circumstance, he can't even explain. The eagle escaped from the
cage.
Can you see the Exodus now?
My.
If I didn't know my Bible, sir, I would have called you a most special apostle.
I would have tried to find out your background. If you and Promise, you were the Pastor Promise, you were in the same church before. White garment.
Okay,
now, you see. The eagle escaped till death. They couldn't catch him again.
Hallelujah.
And I heard that the man that was in charge was making a complaint. He said, it's not easy to take care of this eagle. It's not easy. The truth is, it's not easy to cage an elect of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's not easy.
That's right.
Amen. You know, they will trouble you.
Amen.
And that was the problem I had within these, some of these pastors. In the message that
you attended about four, five,
four messages. Of them. Four. 1, 2, 3, 4
Different kids.
And trouble. Because there were questions they could not answer.
Hallelujah.
You know. So that is why I say, you know, that was the fourth Exodus. Okay.
Wow. It's very clear. Very, Amen. Very clear, sir. Let's go deeper.
That's right. And
something I would love to ask you. When does an Exodus start?
When you say, when does it start? When does it start? At the junction of time.
At the junction of time.
In the fullness of time.
In the fullness of time.
Because God has the agenda.
Okay.
I mean, he will allow it as long as the timing, the divine time, is not yet fulfilled. So didn't he say he has heard the cry of his people? True. When the people who begin to get on ease, his people who are in cage there in the cage begin to cry out of frustration, lack of peace, then be sure that the Exodus is about to take place.
Wow, that's serious.
That's a serious one.
Very, very serious.
Okay, so you wanted to tell us about the processes of this Exodus.
Now, to understand the process.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Matthew chapter 4, the call of Peter.
Okay. Matthew 4.
18 and 19. What does it say?
18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Listen very well.
I'm with you, sir.
William Branham was the one that called our attention to the meaning of this fishing. Why will he say fishers of men? Okay, but watch it now. Watch it now in John 21.
Man of God.
You see, what did he say? He said, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. So this is, that is, I will teach you how to fish. That is what he's saying. Fishmen. Now, fishmen, what do you mean by fishmen? You will only understand these fishers of men. Okay, let's read Matthew 21 first. Maybe read it from verse 3.
John 21
from verse 3. Yes, read it up to maybe verse 14. Let's just get the full picture.
Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing.
But Jesus is the one. He said, come, I will make you fishers of men. Go ahead.
But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus.
Yes.
Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them,
what did not note verse 6?
And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes.
Now you see now. So So there is the right way to cast your net if you are going to catch a fish.
My Rema.
And there is a wrong way.
My God.
It's not left and right. There is a right way and there's a wrong way. They cast their fishing net the wrong way, and they, all night you need Jesus to teach you how to fish.
Amen. Amen.
Now, so here is William Branham now. William Branham was now telling us that in a vision, the angel of the Lord came and came with a fishing line.
Yes, sir.
To teach him how to fish. And we were teaching him a naked hook will not catch the fish you are looking for.
Amen.
So you put the fishing bait.
Hallelujah.
Something that the fish, food, edible, coats the hook.
Hey.
Now, he said, when you throw it into the water, already they are hungry, looking for food to eat. He said, they bring big fish that you are looking for, predestinated seed of God.
Hallelujah.
They are the fish. Now, remember, it is Exodus.
That's right.
You are going to pull that fish out of the water. And what is the water?
The world. The
world. Revelation 17 says so.
That's right.
Multitude. The water is the world. And he said that the small fishes will begin to come. Then he said, that is why you now do, you know, when you throw it, then you pull it for them to see. He said, after the small fishes come, the big fish will not bother, because these small fishes, anything you throw inside the water, if it's wood, they will run there. Food, anything, food. That is all they're looking for. But the big fish, they look before they leap.
Amen.
Look before you leap.
Because they have a warning. They have wise. Let me not go and eat something that will hook me. A believer, a true believer, is not everything that says Jesus, you go there.
I hear you, sir.
You will measure first. There is a standard. You will watch and confirm. So the angel told William Branham that now, so you take the second pool from the water and bring it out a little bit away from the dip. You bring it out, that affords the big fish to now say, truth, there's food there.
Hallelujah.
Then he comes closer. You know, the other one, he was where he was. Then he comes closer. This time, as he comes closer to see the type of food that is there, then the angel told William Branham, it is at this stage that you prepare for the third food, because once you, when you bring it up, he now sees that he comes near, he sees it. He's now coming to eat. So as it's now coming to eat, you are dangling and showing there's food here. You know, there's a hook inside. So the fish now will come and then displace all those ones. You know, it's very big. Those small ones. And then in the course of eating, William Branham said, now you prepare for the third pool. It is that third pool that brings that fish now out of the water.
My.
You see, now that, therefore, the process of bringing the fish out of the water comes out through three
stages.
Three pools.
Known as three pools. Now, especially the intermediate believers, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, you know, recently they've been making a lot of noise about the third pool. You hear them say that we are now in the third pool. No. They miss it.
Tell us, sir.
Now, the third pool, because there is a way they put it, and they make it look as if the message has caught them. Now, what is it? Let's see the pools now. Let's see the pools. Now, the Lord Jesus himself had three pools.
In his ministry.
In his ministry.
Wonderful.
William Branham had three pools. And every monumental ministry must have three pools, because we have no other ministry other than to fish out men from the world.
Amen.
From the world of sin. Unbelief.
Hallelujah.
That is all that is our ministry as preachers. Now, so look at the pools of Jesus. People could not understand why Jesus Christ's ministry started with miracles, signs, and wonders. It's to cause attraction. That's the first pool.
The anointing is to cause attraction.
Miracle, signs, and wonders.
First pool.
First pool.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Then,
what was the next one, sir?
The next pool was the discernment.
Power.
My God.
now, what you remember, discernment is to attract the big fish. Because only God will know
the art of man.
Yesterday,
today, and tomorrow.
My God.
Only God. I have never known you before. I remember when he wants to do this, he silences so that no replica until, you know, the original had to come before they begin to fake it. So that
I
people will not know. So you discover two instances. The woman at the well. What did he use to catch her?
Discernment.
Was it miracle?
At all.
It was what?
Discernment.
That's true. You have four husbands. Even the one you're living with now is not your husband. They told us that when the Messiah come, this is what he will say.
That's
he
right.
Say, I am he.
It's
a ram. You know, it was not miracle
that
made her to recognize Jesus.
That's right.
It was discernment.
Discernment.
That simply means all through the miracle, the healing, deliverance, that woman, the Samaria, will not go through that, because remember that Judas has come, and what's the other one? Theodas had come, Acts chapter 5, what do you call it? Gamaliel brought all of them. So there are all these fake ones that I beg. Until Philip found Nathanael.
Hallelujah.
He said, come and see whom we have found under the second pool. What did he say? Come and see. And Natty came. Brother Natty, when he came, discernment. Behold,
an Israelite
whom there is no guide.
Hallelujah.
He said, how did you know?
How did you know me?
He said, when you were sitting under the big design, under the oak tree, under the
second,
you know, under the tree there. He said, hey!
Thou art the king of
Israel.
The king of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Prepare for the third pool. That is what led him to start following Jesus as one of his disciples. Three pools. Now, the ministry of restoration is coming up. You see, the same thing, William Branham. That fishing, you know, and that is why many people misunderstand the ministry of William Branham. The first pool was, he was going everywhere. You notice everywhere, healing, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders were taking place. Hey, Abraham, even people like Godolize offer free service to be the one to be putting you as come and campaign manager, blah, blah, blah. And all of them accepted him. But he was there looking for the fishes.
My God.
The small, small fishes were running and following him. Then it moved from healing to discernment.
Second pool.
That is the second pool. By the time it gets there, more serious Christians now. You know, Brother Barnes an elderly man that I had reason to meet him, travel from America in the early 90s, and I was one of his hosts, you know, in my prison ministry. I think somebody, you know, linked him to me. He had something to do in Nigeria, missionary work. So he was telling me that he happened to meet William Branham. And he said they told him that there is an evangelist that was coming to some place, cooperating churches. All of you come, you know, as they usually do.
Yes, sir.
So he said he hired, I mean, he got how many buses or so and carried his own members to the evangelistic program. He said that prior to that, he said God made him to be studying the prophets. He said God told him to study the prophets. He didn't know why. Months back. So he said when he got there, he met, he saw William Branham at the stage. Then, you know, making discernments. You are this, you are that, you are from here, your name is this, you are this, go, your mother is now healed. Do you believe? Do you believe he's here? Do you believe? And then he said he went to a corner and stood there and called some people. Why do you people call that man evangelist? That is a prophet.
I think I know that testimony, sir.
You know the testimony.
Yes,
he said this, he told me this personally. He was an elderly man then, you know. So he saw he was alive. And he said, he told them they should stop calling that man evangelist. Now that man there is a prophet. He said, and not just a prophet. He said, this man looks like a dispensational prophet because he has studied how to identify dispensational prophets.
Hallelujah.
And then he said, if there is a dispensational prophet on ground now, then something is set to happen. You see what caught the fish, that big fish.
Big fish.
And that is how he followed the teachings of that man. And, you know, and that is what was going on. Now I have had some testimonies. I understand you have some testimonies of people who also have one or two things to say concerning the ministry of William Branham.
That's true, sir.
Now, not what we'll be hearing. You know, they are just the power. They did not know that it was a pool. Let's listen to them. Let's listen to them first, so that you understand what we want to explain, you know, about this process.
Okay.
People pray, seek God. I had a man of God. They called him William Branham. He was a prophet. I was watching him one day, and he said the longest fast he has done is 3 days. I got a little bit angry. I said, what? Because by that period, hey, I can fast. I fast. I fast, I couldn't wear anything. There was nothing I could wear. I couldn't wear anything. I couldn't wear suit. I couldn't wear long sleeve. I couldn't wear anything. I fasted. I became like this. I fast. This man operated a dimension that one day, let me give you, tell you two, three things that happened. One day he was in a car, and the car broke down because the engine knocked. And he said, Lord Jesus, brand new engine. His mechanic that said the engine had knocked, you know, had gone into town to look for how to bring people to tow the car. So when the mechanic came, that was when he prayed, said, Lord, brand new engine. The mechanic said, okay, the mechanic opened the bonnet and look at the engine. Brand new. Now, 3 days fasting. One day, he's a hunter, he likes to hunt. So one day he went to the bush. All the animals had gang up. They have finished semester. So all the animals had escaped. So he was wondering, what am I going to give to my wife? He said, Lord Jesus, let there be squirrel. And the squirrel appeared. He shot it. And now that was a creative realm. That's not realm of blind seeing. That's a creative realm. Blind seer, no, that's supernatural. Then creative is speaking things into existence. And that's the class of God. Let there be light. That's the class of God. So he operated that realm. And he said 3 days fasting. So I said, I said, this man, I will study what was his secret. And I found out. His secret was this: he lived right and he was always alone. He did not mix with people. Sometimes he would lock up himself for 3-4 days. He's eating, but he's not seeing anybody. Eating, praying, worshiping God, serving God. He's eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, but not communicating. Sometimes he will have a program in 1 or 2 weeks' time. He will go to the bush. He will make bonfire, eat animal, roast animal, and just be singing, worshiping God. And I discovered the easiest way to get close to God is to get away from people. Did you hear something? My wife said something one day, we were talking, and he said, Kai, my husband, this kind of life you came is very funny. I said, why? He said, thank God you are a pastor. He said, the life you are living is like you don't want anybody. You just want to be on your own. That's my life.
I didn't used to prophesy. I've always walked in the demonstration of the Spirit, but that prophetic dimension was not there. One time, I was watching the videos of one of God's generals, and I was just looking at him. People had criticized him and said all kinds of things, William Branham. And while I looked at this man, I saw the compassion that was in him. And I said, human beings are wicked. They never know what it means to be anointed and the challenges that come with carrying the anointing. It's easy to just run their mouths and talk nonsense on people. And I was listening and looking at him, because I had searched for where are those who are an extension of these graces. And suddenly from my laptop, something just came upon my head, a very cold sensation, and for over 30 minutes it was just going down my body. And when it went down my body, I knew I had received something. The next meeting I would go for, it was like a joke. I was looking around, and then I'm seeing names of people on their heads and wondering, what is this? What has suddenly changed? You can know when you shift.
Now you gotta hear this. Very few men in our century experienced this third dimension. And everyone that did lost their mind. I don't mean to scare you. Dowie in Chicago, Illinois shook the world. And when the third dimension came on him, he thought he was Elijah. And died in disgrace. William Branham, same thing. He experienced the third dimension where God used him in such ways. I have videos of it, and I sit and tremble watching that man being used. Details about people. I mean details. William Branham is his name. William Branham was preaching, my dear, when a halo appeared over his head preaching in Louisiana. You can look him up on YouTube. It'll shake you up. A man walked up to him one day. Who was lying to him. He said, I have cancer. This man would read people's minds. He would say, you are so and so, your name is this, your name is that, first, last name. Details about their life scared the lights out of people. New details about every, he said, I hear you saying this, this, this to your wife, and she said this, this, this to you. The power of God was so strong on him that a guy walked up to him and said, I have cancer, but he was lying. And Branham said, you're a liar. You don't have cancer. You came to mock me. But you will have cancer. You're going to be dead in 7 days. And the guy dropped dead. Wow. Said, you don't lie to the man of God. You're going to drop dead. That anointing is scary. But even William Branham thought he was Elijah. How many have heard of William Branham? How many never have heard of him? Look him up on YouTube. He's all over YouTube.
The reason why some fools can put my video here and put Branham's video here and compare us is because of spiritual reality distortion field. Uh-huh. Because if you were wise, you'd know. Branham an angel, you can't compare Branham to a prophet or anything. Don't. Leave Branham alone. That's a stage that is beyond what you can talk about. Don't even mention angel and Branham in one sentence. No, it's no. a It's a dishonor to God. To say, Brother Branham, angel, because you watched me mention seven names of people, their family members, and what is written on the gravestone. You say, hey, look at angel, it's sharper than Branham. Listen, leave me alone with my life. Me, I want long That's life. Right. No. I want long life.
That's right. Sir.
You would never hear me make a mistake of saying I'm better than Branham. Mm-mm. Or I'm at the same level. No. Or I prophesy better. Yeah, Branham was more than a prophet. Mm. Branham is beyond what you can ever talk about. Mm. Listen, the guy is not here. He's not going to hear this video and be like, wow, you are so powerful. Oh, wow. What humility. Yeah. No, this is not humility.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Branham, when you know the life of the man, that's when you say, wait a minute. Are you hearing me? Are you getting me? When you know the life of the man and the grace that God put on Brother Branham, that's when you know, stop it. Don't. If any of my followers ever want to live long, don't ever compare me to that man ever again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Never.
Yes, sir.
I know what it is. Mm. I know what the man was. Mm. No. You can see 29 million angels. You'll still be lower than Branham.
Wow.
It takes people with no reality distortion field to understand what it is. Is standing here. The servant is standing here. He says, look at the everything around.
Yeah.
Look at the chariots of fire. Mm. And the man says, Lord, open the eyes of this young boy. He's too blind. He doesn't see.
Yeah.
And the eyes were open. And the Bible says, and he saw chariots of fire right about and in between them. Wow. Meaning to say there was distance in the spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That the young man could not see. Yes, he was centimeters away from the prophet.
Yes, sir.
But when he opened his eyes, he saw, my God, the prophet is miles away. But in the natural, it seems like they were so close.
Yeah.
He could even receive the impartation and be like the man of God. Mm. No way. It wasn't going to play like that.
Yeah.
There was some reality that was there. The distance between him and the prophet was vast. But his natural eyes could only see the physical. Just because a man can stand in front and say, yes, you are from this place. You know, Brother Branham would say it easy like that. There is, you are from this place, you are from this place. Go home and be well. It is like that. Mm. So you see him mention three names, and an angel mentions seven, 10 names, 20 names, and your mindset goes, boom, he's sharper. Mm. Who told you Branham had finished?
Yeah. Mm.
Who told you this was the end of his prophecy? He was only waiting for the person to have faith enough to believe what he says, and that's the end of it. He wasn't doing it for a show. Never again miss the difference in grace. It's not the theatrics. It's the distance in grace and the difference in grace. Branham, Brother Branham, was more than a prophet. It was different.
Brother Branham was more than a prophet. These are testimonies of several men of God about our prophets, Brother William Branham.
Now we're talking about Exodus.
That's true, sir.
You know, there's one common thing about all of them, about the testimony of William Branham in his ministry. You notice all of them have one grace or the other. You know that Apostle Suleiman. What should I call it? Apostle or professor?
Apostle, professor.
Professor Suleiman. Yeah. He operates a gift. Hubert Angel operates a gift. Benny Hinn operates a gift. What's the other man? Selma.
Joshua Selma
operates a gift. And one thing about God, generally, about Christ, you know, it is what you desire from him, he gives you. It is what you desire from him, he gives you. Do you observe that all they are talking about is the anointing? The anointing, the anointing, the grace, the anointing, the power, Selma was desiring power. And he saw a man with power. Wow. That's all he saw. You see the difference now? Now, Selma saw him, and all he saw was power. I saw him like Selma saw him. Because William Branham died in 1965. So maybe Selma was not even born again. Me, I came across the vision of William Branham in 1989. Now, but what my interest was in that ministry was not the power.
Hallelujah.
You see what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
The power is the second pool. In power. Fact, it's even the first pool.
Okay, I hear yes. you. The power. I hear you. I comprehend, man of God.
And I told you, who are those that run after that?
That's
the,
right.
The two fishes.
Small fishes.
Small fishes.
That's where the attention is.
Hey.
That's on the first pool. Now, people like Hubert, Angel, he saw the second pool, which was disarmament, and the ease with which he was doing it. And all he concluded then was that this is more than a prophet. But there is something these people and all the denominationers and all those who were following the ministry of William Branham and hailing him and putting all those records that some of them have read, there's something they missed. This is what they missed. John chapter 6.
Hey, my Lord and God.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
Now, in John chapter 6,
man of God,
the story there is that he did a miracle.
Yes, sir.
What did he do?
Multiplied five loaves.
He multiplied five loaves and fed how many people?
5,000
people.
Men.
Now, and the crusade was over. Mighty miracles, signs, and wonders. Verse 22.
The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boats, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Albeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks.
Uh-huh.
When the people therefore...
They came again, for bread.
Uh-huh. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum.
What were they doing? Seeking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. And verse 25.
And when they had found him on the other side of the sea,
yes.
They said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?
I was looking for you. How did you reach here? We were looking for you. Yesterday's crusade was wonderful.
Right.
Okay. Jesus answered them.
Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you.
Now listen to what Jesus Christ said.
You seek me, not because he saw the miracles.
You are looking for me. Not because you saw the miracle,
but right. Because you did it of the loaves and were filled.
Because you did what?
Eat of the loaves.
You ate of the loaves
and were filled.
And you were filled. Then he said something.
Labor not for them, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth.
You are struggling looking for Jesus. All this struggle you are looking for because you are hungry. Maybe you get another bread to eat again today, food to eat today again. He said, labor not for that type of meat which perisheth, but what?
But that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.
See, that means. What the main thing that the Son has is not this one miracle, signs and wonder that will perish here. There's another one, there's another bread he has to give you that will endure unto everlasting life. Then he went further. Because the Father has sealed him for that purpose.
That's right.
Now verse 28.
They said, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God?
Verse 29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent.
So Was it to believe miracle?
No, sir.
That's why I agree with Angel Hubert. He said that William Branham was more than a prophet.
True.
And we have a testimony of John the Baptist like
yes,
that.
Sir.
What was John the Baptist?
More than a prophet.
Christ Jesus in Matthew 11.
That's right.
What did he say? He says, verse 7, who did you go to see?
And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind. But what went he out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went he out for to see?
Now, what is the answer?
A prophet.
A prophet?
Yeah,
you are correct.
I say unto you, yes.
more than a prophet. What makes him more than a prophet? Verse 10.
For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, we shall prepare thy way before thee.
What is he to do? He was there to prepare a way for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To point the people to the Messiah,
Amen.
To their Savior.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, catch it here. His ministry was not the ministry of miracles, signs, and wonders.
Very true, sir.
His ministry, listen, he was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet because he had,
thus
said the Lord, he had a message. And please, the message is not tomorrow you will marry.
Amen.
That is not the kind of prophet. That is why he is more than a prophet.
Amen.
Because the kind of prophet that you people know here are prophecies that you will give somebody and then they will come and buy a car for you. They will dash you land, dash you house. People will see that you tell them when they will die and when they will... not the type of prophet that will come and predict elections. And then say you will pass, you win, you will lose. They'll come and sit down the whole year and they'll tell you what will happen in 2021. Very soon now, they will soon begin this. He said it's not that type of prophet. That is why Angel Hubert was acknowledging. He's not that type of prophet. The type of prophet that John the Baptist was, he was to come and show them.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was a star. That was to show them where Jesus was.
Amen.
Amen.
That is the ministry John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not prophesy.
Hallelujah.
The only prophecy that John the Baptist gave was that, you know, he's the one that baptized the Holy Ghost and fire, and he has a fan in his hand. He thoroughly punched
the floor.
I don't know any other prophecy. You know Bible more than me. I don't know if there's anywhere there.
No.
And yet Jesus said he was more than a prophet.
That's right. That's right.
Why? Because he was fulfilling Malachi chapter 3, verse 1.
Yeah, amen.
And of course, you know, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah 40. Chapter 40.
That's right. True, sir.
Fulfilling that.
It was fulfilling that.
That's true, sir.
Making a way. And that was the ministry of William Branham was in that order.
Amen.
And Hubert confirmed that William Branham was more than a prophet because it was not their type of prophet.
Amen.
Amen.
And that thing that made William Branham more than a prophet is what the elect of God is interested in.
Amen.
Is who is that preacher that has it? The word of eternal life.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
The word of eternal life.
The word. Of eternal life. Amen. That is the word that leads you to eternal life.
Amen.
You know, so you have to catch it. While they are looking at the miracle signs and wonders, none of them goes to his doctrines.
So
while Selma while Selma and Hubert and Benihin and Apostle Professor Suleiman. While they are looking at the power, recognizing the grace of God, unknown to them, that grace was given for a purpose.
Hey, sir, please, I need to digest this thing.
They missed the process, the purpose. And the purpose is what he taught. And only the big fishes will be able to catch that.
Amen.
So while I am looking at the revelation of the word of God that came through William Branham, they are looking at the bread in the earth, the power, amen, the miracle, signs and wonders.
Amen.
And yet, that is the pool. The only thing that can pull any sinner out of the world, it is the word.
The only thing.
Prophecy can never make anybody, or even the prophets themselves, they are bolting themselves to the wall. So why are they talking of coming out?
Okay, sir, let's take another short break so that we can digest what the pastor is saying. We'll be right back after this short break.